Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Fiscal Performance First Quarter 2016 conference call hosted by Ivan Zarak, the Vice Ministry of Economy. My name is Sam, and I'm the event manager. During the presentation, your lines will remain on listen only. If you require assistance at any time, please key star zero on your telephone, and a coordinator will be happy to assist you. You may submit web questions throughout the presentation by clicking on the Q&A tab indicated by the question mark, type your questions, and send to all panelists. I would like to advise all parties this conference is being recorded for replay purposes. Now I'd like to hand over to Ivan. Ivan, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning to everyone. Today I'm going to go over the fiscal performance for the first quarter of 2016, as well as the fiscal year performance for fiscal year 2015. Those numbers are already public, so I'm going to go over them briefly. First, I wanted to go over some of the contents of the presentation. We're going to start with a macroeconomic overview. Then we're going to review the fiscal performance, the profile of the Republic of Panama, the risks and buffers that we have, and some final remarks. Together with me is Minister Dulcidio de la Guardia, Minister of Economy and Finance, as well as the team from Public Credit for the Republic of Panama. Starting on slide four, macroeconomic overview. As stated previously, Panama remains a leader in Latin America in terms of GDP growth with a well-diversified economy. No single sector accounts for more than 20% of GDP, as you can see in the slide that is on the top left of the page. We have other strengths, which is an open and dollarized economy, a moderate debt burden with less than 40% of debt over GDP as of December 2015, a very robust financial sector, some comparative advantages such as the Panama Canal. Now, when we see the economic performance of Panama and we compare it to Latin America as a whole, on the bottom right, you see a chart that compares the growth of Panama as to the average growth in Latin America and the Caribbean. And there you can see Panama in the dark blue line. It basically has been outperforming the region at least since year 2010. Year 2015 and 2016 are not going to be any different. The gap is probably going to be much wider because Latin America as a whole is in a recession while Panama is actually still growing at a rate of between 5 and 6%. On the next slide, where we see inflation. Inflation rates continue to be low due to the global economic environment. Panama still enjoys full employment rates, and the Panamanian population continues to enjoy rising incomes. Now, historical inflation has been around 2%, and it continues to be low specifically for year 2015. It was less than 0.5% due to low commodity import prices, mainly oil. At the same time, social policies and private investment have fostered a stable labor market. We see an unemployment rate of basically 5.3%, which is considered basically full employment for practical purposes. Now, commodity prices remain at historic low levels and we're non-dependent on commodity prices. I should be very clear on this, and I've been repeating this a couple of times in the last year. Latin America is a very commodity-dependent region, right? We have strong commodity exporters such as Brazil, Colombia, Mexico. Now, Panama is a net commodity importer. We do not have a main commodity that we consider our main source of exports. We do not have oil or gas, or a strong, let's say, soybean or other agricultural sector commodities. So we're a net commodity importer, therefore the decrease in commodity prices has basically imported a lower level of inflation and basically boosted economic growth for year 2015. On the next slide, foreign direct investment. FDI continues to flow inward, increasing by 16% annually, that's CAGR, since year 2010. For year 2015, the annual growth for foreign direct investment is actually 17%. FDI accounts for around 10% of GDP for year 2015. We have over 120 high-profile companies that choose Panama as their hub for doing business across the region. On the bottom left, you can see some of the companies that we mentioned. Now, this phenomenon reflects Panama's established service economy that takes advantage of our unique advantages. And we also have a shrinking current account deficit, which you see on on the top right for year 2015 of negative $3.4 billion. This decrease in the current account deficit is due mainly to low commodity prices, as I mentioned previously. Now, foreign capital comes from all over the globe. Around 56% is Western Hemisphere, with the remaining 44% coming from other regions in the world. So North America and South America account for 56%, and 44% is the rest of the world. As far as competitiveness, according to the World Economic Forum, Panama is the second most competitive country in Latin America. This is mainly due to Panama's strong financial sector and infrastructure quality. You can see some of the rankings here. Number one in the region is Chile, which is ranked number 35 by the World Economic Forum. Panama is ranked number 50, which makes it number 2 in Latin America on the list. And there you can see the ranking of other countries such as Costa Rica, Mexico, Brazil, and Uruguay. Okay, we're going to go to the next section of the presentation. We're going to go over fiscal performance. First, we're going to go over fiscal performance for fiscal year 2015 as compared to fiscal year 2014, and then we're going to go over first quarter 2016. Now, as far as December 2015 goes, we're going to go over the non-financial public sector results. Non-financial public sector includes, obviously, the central government, the social security system, and some non-consolidated agencies. Non-financial public sector deficit totaled $1.224 million, or $1.22 billion, which is 2.3% of GDP. This represents a decrease of 0.9 percentage points compared to the same deficit for the previous year. As far as revenue goes, the total revenues increased by 4.2%. This improved revenue performance is mainly due to contributions from the social security system, non-consolidated agencies, and others. This is for year 2015. Current savings finance 64% of non-financial public sector capital expenditures. Non-financial public sector capital expenditures reached $3,595 million, or 6.9% of GDP, as a result of projects such as Metro Line 1 and 2, low-income household repairs and reconstruction, hospitals, road repairs, and others. The primary balance improved compared to the previous year. You can see the primary balance is negative $284 million as compared to negative $720 million for year 2014. As you can recall, year 2014 was the first year of this administration. We took over on July 1st, 2014, and we had to implement at that point an expenditure containment plan as well as a fiscal moratorium to try to get the reins on the results of the non-financial public sector. We managed to decrease the deficit from a projected 5.1 to 3.2%. In year 2015, the first year that the complete administration is under our control, we managed to decrease that even further from 3.2% to 2.3%. You can also see that the official number that is going to be published is going to be 2.0 and not 2.3%. This is due to a law that is that has been enacted since year 2014 that provides for an adjustment from the sovereign wealth fund. But the number that we try to focus on is the cash deficit, which is the 2.3 number that I mentioned previously. Okay, for the fiscal performance for first quarter 2016, on the next slide, some of the highlights. Total revenue, first quarter 2016, as compared to first quarter March 2015, shows a total revenue increase of 15%. This improved revenue performance is mainly due to contributions from the Social Security system, non-consolidated agencies, and more importantly, a much improved tax collection system. Current savings finance 75% of non-financial public sector expenditures. Current expenditures increased slightly compared to the previous year, while revenue and capital expenditures also increased. For fiscal, for first quarter 2016, we also see, for the first time in a couple of quarters, a positive primary balance of $172 million for the first quarter. The non-financial public sector deficit, the total deficit, totaled $217 million, which represents around 0.4% of GDP. This is a decrease of 0.7% percentage points compared to the same period of the previous year. So previous year we had a 2.3% overall deficit. First quarter showed for the fiscal year 2015 a 1.1% deficit. This year shows a 0.4% deficit. We have much improved revenues and the total expenditures are increasing by a rate that is much less than the increase in revenues for the first quarter of 2016. Debt profile. As far as our portfolio composition, as of March 2016, total public sector debt amounted to $21.3 billion. Out of those $21.3 billion, 80% is in the international markets and 20% is in the internal markets. I'm going to focus on the left hand of your slide. The debt profile, you can see there that 78% is external debt, and out of that 78%, 68% is bonds, and 32% are loans. The remaining 21% is basically domestic market and other internal financing. As far as the debt profile in terms of currencies, and I always have to say this, Panama is a dollarized economy, so for us, a dollar-based debt is basically a debt that is based in the same currency that we use. And 97% of the total public sector debt or non-financial public sector debt is denominated in U.S. dollars, and 3% is denominated in other currencies, including Canadian dollars, euros, and Japanese yen. As far as fixed or floating, 85% of our debt is with fixed rates, and 15% is floating. Out of that 15%, 30% of that is hedged with financial instruments, and the other 70% of that 15% is totally and completely floating. Now, for years 2016 and from years 2016 to 2019, we have to refinance around 19% of our total non-financial public sector debt. That you can see on the bottom right hand of the slide. As far as your net debt evolution and debt over GDP ratio is relatively stable, as you can see from year 2010 to 2015, it's presently at a rate of 37% debt over GDP. On the next slide, debt ratios. Interest expenditure continues to be manageable. Interest represents around 10% of total expenditures for the central government. That is the number for year 2015. Also, our weighted average cost of debt shows a significant decrease since year 2010, And just to recap, in year 2010, it was 6.3%, and now it's basically 4.8%. We strive to for this as we start amortizing older debts that have a bigger financial cost, for this ratio to come down even further. And that would be obviously partially offset by any increases in the international interest rates. Now, this is very important. The Varela administration has pledged to respect and fully comply with the social and fiscal responsibility law, and we continue to do so. For 2016, the non-financial public sector deficit limit is 1.5% of GDP. That is the adjusted deficit that takes into consideration the adjustments that are provided by the Sovereign Wealth Fund law. Okay, next slide. Some capital market initiatives. Since year 2011, we have undergone frequent and recurring auctions, increasing the volume of issuances in the domestic market. We plan to continue deepening the local market. We have a program of market makers. We are, there you can see the negotiated volumes have increased by 80% CAGR from year 2010 to 2015. And you can see some of the main financial instruments. Now, we have sort of an interesting opportunity in the domestic market, since the yield on comparable domestic market bonds is actually higher than on international ones. Many investors, I'm pretty sure, will try to take advantage of this arbitrage opportunity, and they can do that buying these bonds through the Euroclear, through Euroclear. Some risks and buffers. First of all, sovereign risk indicators continue to perform among the best in the region as a result of confidence by international investors in Panamanian debt instruments. Recent developments have not affected our risk profile. On the top, you can see the evolution of our credit default swaps with the publication of the Panama Papers articles and the allegations related to the Wacket family, as well as the complete publications of the Panama Papers, and their impact on the credit default swaps is basically negligible, especially if you compare them to other countries. That you can see on the right-hand side, top right-hand side of the table, our five-year credit default swap from Panama, Colombia, Peru, and Mexico, and you can see basically a very stable spread between Panama and the rest of the countries listed. Now, when we go to the MBIC spread, our spreads continue to be tight against our regional peers. As a matter of fact, we are outperforming peers, as well as countries that have better sovereign risk ratings than Panama, such as Mexico and Peru. So we feel very confident in the market, I should say, feels very confident on the quality of Panama as a credit. Now, the banking system liquidity, the national banking system boasts a solid, stable foundation characterized by high liquidity and adequate capital levels. The national banking system liquidity ratio was published at 58.8% for year 2015. The capital adequacy ratio for the national banking system is at 14.8%. The minimum is 8.0%. Local and foreign deposits have been growing from year 2011 to 2015 at a CAGR of 9.2%. And there you can see some other data related to the national banking system, the number of banks that operate within Panama, and the total internal credit in the national banking system, which is $46 billion, which is around 90% of GDP. As far as our risk matrix, we've had several events in the past few years, and obviously the main point here is how you react to those events. We had several events such as the Wackett case, the Wackett family case. The risk there is unemployment and contagion. And the government of Panama has done a partial intervention with the U.S. Treasury to ensure that debts are repaid and to avoid economic contagion and unemployment. For the Panama Papers, it is a high concern. We see this as a risk that can affect our correspondent banking services. And we've been communicating with the main banks and explaining the situation from the Panama Papers and the steps that Panama has taken in the last few years to increase transparency in the financial system. Another adverse event, economic growth deceleration, and this is obviously a global phenomenon. This is not a Panamanian phenomenon. And the risk there is that this could cause a deterioration in macroeconomic indicators. And we're, as far as that, we're improving public spending allocation and improved tax collection. And there we can go further down the list, the inclusion in the FATF gray list in the year 2014. We've been able to basically comply with everything that was established by FATF, and we came out of that gray list on February 2016. And, well, we have some other regional risks, which is basically currency valuations, Venezuelan debt, and other. I'm not going to go over them in detail, but you get the picture. We have a very clear picture of what the risks are to the country and the steps that we have to take in order to mitigate those risks. Now, we're going to go to the final remarks. Number one, the sovereign risk indicators of the Panamanian economy continue to outperform the LATAM region as a result of confidence by international investors in Panamanian debt commitments. Number two, key factors that support economic growth are basically a diversified economy, legal stability, promotion of the private sector as the engine of the national economy, and a disciplined implementation of public investment. Number three, our fiscal consolidation process continues to be well-driven by responsible public spending and improved tax collection. Number four, domestic capital markets continue to develop, and new initiatives are expected to continue to foster their growth. Number five, the Ministry of Economy and Finance and the government as a whole are fully committed to giving a rapid response to any adverse event that might pose a threat to high economic performance. With that, gentlemen, I close the presentation and I open up the call to any questions that you might have. As I mentioned, I have Minister Dulcidio de la Guardia here with me, as well as the team from Public Credit.
Ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now begin. If you wish to ask a question, please key star then one on your telephone, record your name, then press the hash key. If you'd like to submit a question on the WebEx, please click on the Q&A tab indicated by the question mark sign, type your question, and click Send to all panelists. So once again, on the telephone, please key star, then one on your telephone, record your name, and then press the pound key. Thank you. There are no questions.
I guess we blew them away. It's a very nice fiscal performance for 2015, as well as the fiscal performance for first quarter 2016 was. We're very happy with those news. We continue to take measures to rein in public, the non-financial public sector deficit. So we expect the good news to continue as we go along. As always, we're open to any other questions that you might have via this conference call or via directly to our people in the public credit department. If there are no further questions, I guess we can close the call.
There are no questions.
Thank you all for participating in the quarterly call with the Republic of Panama.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That concludes your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining and have a good day.